Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Good Game, Nice Try, your favorite podcast and one of the longest video game podcast titles out there. I'm your co-host, Aaron Blairett, along with me on this fine, fine Friday. Ooh. Sonia Reed, how are you, Sonia?
Oh, good. I appreciate the gentle start.
Yeah.
The gentle start to the morning. This is nice.
You know what's interesting to me is I think that one thing that makes people crazy, I've noticed, that doesn't bother me at all, is backseat gaming. We all do a lot of twitching. We all do a lot of live streaming. And I'll see in the rules of a lot of people's profiles, no backseat gaming. And for those who don't know, backseat gaming is, do you want to explain it, Sonia, what backseat gaming is?
Picture yourself on a road trip. You have your navigation set. You know where you're going. You're enjoying the journey. You're in the driver's seat. You got your tunes on. Everything is fine. And you have someone in the back seat yelling and screaming at every wrong turn you've taken. And why didn't you do this? And oh, but that's around the corner. Oh, how about this? So it kind of akin to backseat gaming.
And if you were my father, you would be the driver and the person screaming at the driver because you would constantly be like, oh, I missed the turn. God damn it.
Fuck! One in the same. Angry.
Right. So, but that's, you're right. It's people telling you what to do or telling you that you fucked up while you're playing a game. Now, I personally love backseat gaming. I'm a moron. And so, like my father, you can't get more upset at me or make me more upset than I do myself. So I actually welcome it. I don't know what to do. What pisses me off, like we were kind of talking about before, is like if I'm playing a game and I get stuck on a puzzle. Mm-hmm. So backseat game, just tell me the puzzle. Tell me the puzzle. I want to get into this horror game. Tell me what to do. Do you like backseat gaming? Does it make you insane?
I've come from one end of the sliding scale and have emerged very zen. I feel like because thinking about backseat gaming, Twitch is literally that. Twitch is just an open platform for backseat gaming.
Yeah.
That's all it is. So when I first started streaming and I'm playing shooters like CSGO and I'm playing Overwatch, I fucking suck. I'm not good.
Right.
And I know that I'm not good, but no amount of yelling from chat is going to improve this.
Got it.
So I feel like that got under my skin for a hot second.
You know what? I was going to say, sorry to interrupt, but to your point, I think backseat gaming in like a competition is way mm-hmm. different from narrative, right?
For sure. So that, yes, that was aggravating. I'm like, I already know I'm bad enough. I don't need a reminder. Yes, yeah. I missed that shot like several before and several to come. Yes, I know. However, I feel like it made me just ignore it way more.
Oh, there we go.
And I feel like I've grown. But to your point, yes, narrative games, we've talked about it 101 times, but being in a horror game or any narrative game whatsoever and being stuck on a puzzle, I feel like I am a pretty zen person overall, but that breaks me.
Yeah.
Absolutely shatters me. So I fully welcome and appreciate the support of chat.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's really funny. So when we did the Fallout Clueless Gamer, we went out to Bethesda and played Fallout with Todd Howard, which was great.
Fun.
And I was playing and he's there and he's asking me questions and stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, this is great. And I truly love Fallout. It's one of my favorite franchises. Skyrim's incredible. Mm-hmm. Todd, And he said a really funny thing, which was, I was like stuck in this basement or something. And he's like, just go left, just go left. He's like, 99% of the time, the exit is left. You could just find your way out if you go left. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, thanks, dude. Really interesting, right? And he's like, 99%. And I did. And I found my way out. And now, yeah, he's just go left. Just go left. And I was like, okay. Isn't that crazy?
Is that the secret?
I guess so.
Just but go
anyway,
left.
Anyway, Todd Howard's backseat game and me, I'm welcoming it because I was lost in the basement. So like, let's go. Jen, now, Jen, you don't do any streaming. You don't do any Twitch streaming. When somebody is playing, when you're playing with someone or someone's next to you, do you care if they tell you what to do? Like, do you like in-person backseat gaming?
It depends on the game. However, I will say, I think upon some self-reflection while I'm listening to you guys, I think I'm the backseat gamer to my girlfriend.
The call is coming from inside the house. Oh,
right,
no.
I'm thinking about this, and I'm just, and she's currently playing Horizon Zero Dawn for the first time, and I am just yelling things, and she, I can tell she's starting to get a little like, can you just stop for a second?
Just let me.
So
let me do my thing.
That's funny.
So I support it. More backseat gaming.
Well,
you support
there we
it from
go.
Within.
Yeah.
If it's me, it's fine. Rules for thee, not for me.
Exactly.
There we go.
Look, I think when it comes to backseat gaming, I personally would find it annoying if I'm playing a competition game. But in a narrative game, as long as it's spoiler-free, I welcome it. Because you know what? I'm the worst. I do the least things. And everyone else is more knowledgeable and better at stuff than me. And including our guest today, who has quite a list of accomplishments. And I would welcome our guest to Backseat Game Me anytime she wants.
Yes, I second that. If our guest today wants to backseat game any of us at any point, I fully support. You are more than welcome. Our guest today is an amazing actress, and she's a self-described hardcore gamer. She's voiced characters in amazing games like Far Cry 4, Horizon Zero Dawn, The Frozen Wilds, and Star Wars Battlefront 2. She's also starring in the highly anticipated upcoming Borderlands movie, which is so cool. And here it is, our interview with Janina Gavankar.
Janina, welcome.
Oh,
thanks for being here.
Thanks, guys.
I have to say, you are a part of so many huge franchises. I mean, True Blood, Star Wars, and now Borderlands. This Borderlands movie is bananas.
Have you seen the trailer? Has it been leaked yet?
I haven't seen the trailer yet, no.
So they just showed a trailer at the CinemaCon. It's sort of like, you know, I have Google alerts. So I was like, oh, somebody showed something. And then I was like, but can we see it though? You know, like, oh, that's cool that the press got to see it. Can we see the thing that we did? And I just saw it. So it was so far well received. Let's see what the gamers think.
Well, you know, Eli Roth directing, Cate Blanchett, Kevin Hart, Jack Black, Jamie Lee Curtis, and you, it's packed with talent. You got Jack Black in there. Jablinski's not going to attach himself to a video game project that's not great.
Yeah. He has a bunch of us idiots in it. I just played D&D with him recently.
Nice.
And I was like, have you seen anything? He's like, nope. So great. We have no idea. Let's all cross our fingers, you know?
But I like what you said about, let's see what the gamers think.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's true. I feel like, you know, sometimes it's hard to bring something from a video game that's so cherished and that people have spent so much time on to the big screen. And, you know, now that you've seen a little bit of the trailer and being involved so deeply in it, what do you feel that the Borderlands movie is doing right?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, one thing that we all really focused on was the reality of what the characters themselves are going through and what they want and what they feel, right? Because it absolutely retains the humor and it does all of those things in spades. So, but the only thing that grounds something is just like the actual super objective of a character, you know, which is just the job of the actor. to do. And when Kate Blanchett is there staring in your face, you're just like, okay, well, better mean it.
That's right.
You know,
anyone can give us fun and games, but can you give us the all is lost moment? I mean, that's like the thing, right? That's it's the emotional stakes. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You know, like, you do your interviews and then they like package it together later. I said, like, you know, it really tells you, you can find your people and that's your family. I was basically pretending like I was doing the EPK for Fast and the Furious. And the
it's about family.
Yeah. And the or EPK Olive Garden director did not get what I was doing.
Oh, no.
And, but I did it very deadpan, so it might make the rounds. And
I hope so.
In a very serious way. And I'm like, oh, God, people will not know that I was, like, taking the piss at all. But that's the point. That is the ethos of Borderlands, right? It's like, everything's fucked. Let's just bumble through all of this, you know? So
all we
half
have
of these planets have no water. You know, it's just like...
Soon to be this planet if we don't fix to turn things around. We're about to be cosplaying Borderland here.
Almost there.
Yeah. What was like one of the very first moments for you when you were found yourself on the other side of the mirror? Was there a moment like you can remember, you looked around and you're like, I can't believe this is happening.
Oh, that's like, listen, I was in a studio last night doing pickups for, it's been announced, so I feel okay, but Forspoken, and it's a Japanese studio. So I was doing a 9 to 11 p.m. pickup session. And even then you're just like, this is so cool. Because, you know, I'm like a nerdy theater kid who was like, I'm a transformational actor. And then I moved to Los Angeles and was like, well, if you want to be in this industry, you don't get to do that. Your face and your body is, you're stuck with it, you know?
Right.
And especially if you are a brown person, right? It's like, it's, they really pay attention to those things that you never realized were going to be a part of your, the way that people work you, right?
Yeah.
Or the opportunities you have. So I get to do things working in games and doing performance capture that nobody is ever going to fucking let me do in quote unquote Hollywood. It's never going to happen. So it's just every time I get to work on a game, it's not just like as a fan dope, as an artist dope, you know?
Yeah.
There's just an intense amount of freedom that we get to have in the games industry that you don't really get to have in an on-camera experience, you know?
So obviously you're a pretty hardcore gamer all around, but how did you actually get your start in gaming?
So my origin story is like, I had a super strict upbringing. I didn't get to play video games. I was handed a controller in 2007, and that just happened to be the dawn of the AAA game. So within the first year of me touching a controller, it was the first Assassin's Creed, the first BioShock, Portal, which is my favorite game.
Oh my God.
My girl.
What else came out that year? I mean, it's literally like, look it up. I played it, right? And my entire social circle were geeks. I hadn't really like found all the, I had just moved to LA, you know, like I was, I had found my realist people, which are geeks. And so, and one of them was like, you don't understand, you're a gamer. And like handed me the orange box, which had Portal, right?
Oh my God. Amazing.
So that was that's what happened. I was also the first actor to use Twitter. So I'd been tweeting since 2006.
Yeah, wait, amazing. Is this true? And on Richard Branson's computer?
Yeah, you signed up random.
We talked about this many times. I do think this is all a giant VR simulation we're in.
Oh, we're in a simulation.
Well, I feel he's like my first adult boyfriend. I was with him for 5 years. He's the CEO and founder of DeviantArt. So that's why all the people in my life were geeks. And he got invited to Necker Island, which is Richard Branson's private island. I know it's like, this is everything I'm saying is a ridiculous situation, right? Like
simulation. We can all just
again,
like,
simulation. But it was like, it became one of the most like infamous trips there because it was end of 2006. And it was like a tech summit because Richard apparently thinks like at the time he like thought the internet was the background on his PC, which was like the two palm trees, which he also had built in on his thing. I don't know. So he thought that that was like the internet, right? And but the cool thing is, like, you know, people who like him, who are just like the most optimistic dude in the room, they stay youthful by not assuming that they know everything and just having, you know, people that the next generation around, right? So he invited all these like the tech minds of new media. I think that was the word that everybody was using.
Sure.
So ridiculous.
But it was like NU, like new metal, you know, like Korn and that stuff. New media. Yeah.
GNU.
New media.
Or no vowels. We can just drop all the vowels.
Yeah. So we went and I was like the plus one, but I had just done this interactive search engine project called Ms. Dewey and that had come out. And so I got sort of like recognized from that, which is a very forward thinking tech exercise. Yeah. And I'm, you know, so it was like very clear that I was not just like the girlfriend. And then I made a bunch of friends. We all got along. We all partied our asses off. And then, you know, then this guy, Chris Sacca, who's now a billionaire, who was head of special initiatives at Google at the time, was touting this thing called Twitter. And it wasn't even incorporated yet. And I like heard about it and I was like, yeah, that's going to work because people like me, we suffer, we are at the mercy of email lists, which by the way, we're kind of going back to because social media has become so noisy.
Full circle.
And it wasn't, nobody had smartphones yet. So you had to text to 40404 to get your tweet out.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that.
But it wasn't called tweeting yet. Yeah, it was, and I just listen, like someone had to be, ended up being the first actor. It just happened to be me, right?
But that's cool. That's really cool.
It's random and cool. Yeah.
It's incredibly cool.
But I have like a few of those things, you know, like I'm early adopter. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. I can kind of tell when something's full of shit and when it makes, just because in the end, I'm an actor and our actual job is to pay attention to humans and human needs. And human nature. Yeah. We're all so fucking basic. Like we are little dumb babies, little dumb wounded babies, all of
apes.
Us.
Baby apes.
Doing our best.
But at the same time of you know, being an actor, you're also just a big nerd.
So yeah, exactly.
I feel like in the best way. So I feel like you can, you know, when you're in that space and just in the tech space, you can kind of see what, like where trends are going or what makes sense or where a need needs to be filled, you know?
Yeah. And that's always been, you know, like the corner of technology and art is always where I've lived. I think it's probably, my father was an engineer, so I was never really afraid of that kind of stuff. You know, cool. It's just like, oh, this is how more things get done. If you make a thing that helps you do the thing you are ultimately trying to do, which is, you know, probably deeper than just the thing you think it is, right?
Right.
When you talk about product and you think about like, where's the value in a company? It's mostly the experience. Like, what does the product actually make you experience? That's the value of most companies, right?
Yeah. And it was so interesting. Like, I read that you were like a first round investor in ClassPass, which is like a similar thing. Like, and I kind of live my life. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm saying this is being recorded.
I can't wait.
I live my life like a video game. I live my life like a video game. I'm sorry. No. I just got my virginity back, I think. But but it is that thing. And like, I do think that in that way, kind of what you're saying, Janina, like taking risks and these things, like, what am I trying to say? Video games have taught me confidence and taught me a lot of great things. And to take risk, to fail is to kind of where I'm
to
going.
To fail.
And realize that it's not by doing things once that I get good at them. If you could distill anything that you've kind of learned from your gaming or those kinds of things, is there anything that comes to mind, like in terms of that you could apply to your real life, this real simulated life?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all, yeah, for sure. You know, like what you just said is really like, it's so, you don't start a game OP as fuck.
Right.
It's like, if you want to be a Jedi, you have to be born with a certain set of midichlorians. Yeah. And then even if you have a shit ton, somebody has to teach you.
Right.
You know, like, you know, you have to go through these things and you have to level up and you have to, you know, like,
you got to go to Dagobah.
You got to do it, you know, like, And then at the end, you can face the big bad and take them down. But make sure before you go into the final battle that you have leveled up everything and collected all the things and make sure that you're ready for the final showdown. Yeah. That is life, right? Like, that's what's fun. And actually, I think that games have taught me how to gamify most things in my life, right? Like, you know, I was born a weirdo with big feelings, art girl, you know? And then, and there's art and there's industry, and they are two different circles in an overlapping diagram. And if you're lucky, by the way, if you're lucky, you can suffer through the industry to be able to do the art thing, right? And to get through the industry, you have to gamify this shit, man.
Agreed.
You gotta fucking figure out how to get into the thing, sneak into the, and the thing is, like, I'm a pretty stealthy because I started so late. I don't have those kinds of gamer skills. That's not what moves me. So I'm the sneak attack bitch, right? Like, you'll never see me coming. But that's also my journey through this industry, right?
That's a strategy.
Like, that's a great strategy.
That's how I move. Like, it's all the same. And then, and you know, like, gamers care deeply, and I certainly have, like, geek rage when somebody ruins the thing that I love. I absolutely have that, you know?
In what way? Like spoil something? Or
no, meaning you took the thing I love and you watered it down to bullshit and you made a dumbass movie and I hate you.
You didn't give it justice.
And there's a few reasons why that happens. But also, like, there's gamer entitlement, which I think is something that we all need to check in ourselves.
Yes. And nobody talks about that side of it.
That's the thing, right? Like, that's the thing. So at this point, I consult at a few studios, and that's what I talk to gamers about as well, right? It's like, I love that you're protective over the thing that you love, but you have to understand that the thing you love was made by human beings. Making a game is the hardest thing on the planet. Like, there are so many moving parts and there are so many people, and the heart of the thing can get lost at every turn, and it's a miracle when they're good.
Yeah.
It's a miracle when a game ships.
When it
period.
Even ships, yeah.
When it even ships, but yeah, to make it good. But, and you know, and that's the thing too, is I feel like translating that to a movie is a difficult thing. And like we're saying, like, people are so protective over something that they care so deeply about, which is amazing that they have such a love for this world and a love for these characters and have such a passion for like a certain IP. But yeah, bringing it to the big screen, there has to be a little bit of letting go. There has to be, because they'll match. It's nice to match the tone, but it's not going to be the, same.
So in one breath, I say, check your entitlement with games themselves. But in another breath, I say, stay mad, bro. They're not getting this shit right.
Right.
They are not. And one of the reasons why I think it's okay for gamers to be mad at these movies is because I think they can intrinsically feel that Hollywood doesn't think that the games industry is classy, valuable, by the Hollywood bullshit metric of fancy.
Yeah, there's no respect.
And because we can feel that lack of respect, we're angry. And I get it. Because by the way, I'm in both rooms. I'm in the game side of rooms and I'm in the Hollywood-ass Hollywood side of rooms. And there's so many times when I have to look in a Hollywood person's face and say, I understand that you think games are cute, but they're going to eat you.
Right.
And you are already obsolete because you're looking down on an entire industry. I know that obsolescence is scary, but get with the times, baby. But I have to say that.
Yeah.
And it has to come from somebody who sits on the fence and just goes, your hubris will turn you into a dinosaur so quickly. I don't know. Like, that's not my problem.
Yeah.
It's just not wanting to change. It's not wanting to adapt. It's not wanting to appreciate and explore something that's unfamiliar. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah. And it's, and by the way, it's okay. It's absolutely, and it should be different. A movie should be very different than a game.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the kernel of, it's like books, it's like any other IP, right? Like, but the kernel of the point, the themes, the characters, the archetypes, the, what is it saying?
Yeah.
Has to be retained. And if it's not, then it's, here's the other thing. It's like, well, it's based on the book, but we had to change. How many things have I been in? It's like based on a book. Everything has to be based on some shit to even get made in Hollywood. Okay. Let's all just like, no, that's
existing
what it is,
IP right? forever. Yeah.
I'm producing this podcast about True Blood.
And
And our last episode is with Alan Ball. And he talks about reading the book. And by season three, they had run out of books, right? So it's like we all understand that they have to be two different things. But the kernel, like the heart of the thing, you have to respect it. That's why it was a hit for you to even have noticed it exists, to then mine for your Hollywoodness, right?
Yes.
So that is like, I get why people are like, I don't know. And I'm like, I get it, man. I get it. So I also fully sympathize with the gamer that's like, don't ruin my thing.
Yeah.
Or sure. Don't disrespect my thing. I think maybe we should just like actually define it a little bit more. Like,
I totally agree. And I think like so much of it, like growing up, like as a huge nerd in Michigan, and there's, you know, Hollywood is a million miles away and all this stuff, and me playing D&D every Friday night at Denny's, you know, with my friends. It's one of those things where I think I just want to be seen. I just want to be, know that the people, like you're saying, the people that are making the thing see me and respect me. And I think a great example of that is the Sonic movie. You know, we've had Ben Schwartz on a couple times how the first
I've made out with Ben.
What? Me too.
What? Oh, on not Space me. Force.
There we go. Yes, exactly. How is he as a kisser? I'll rate him a B plus.
I never remember these B plus. That's what it was like for the two of you.
Yeah, just for us two.
Aw.
But yeah, but I will say like the Sonic is a great example because I think that's something where, you know, the design of Sonic, fans were like, yo, nope. And they were like, okay, oh sorry, our bad. They went back, they changed it. And then fans were like, we are in, not just because of the design, but also not seeing anything we all don't know because they were listened to and seen. And, you know, growing up reading comic books, I think that, you know, the Marvel has figured out how to kind of drill down to the heart of what makes those characters fun and kind of what makes those characters tick.
Well, that's just also like the generational turnover of creators, right? Like the medium, the technology has like, what did I say? 2007 was like the dawn of the AAA game. By the way, at that time, I just thought like, oh, this is video games? Like, no, it had just leveled up that year.
Wow,
I was like, I've been missing this the whole time. No.
That was a hot year.
It was a hot ass year.
That's a hot year.
But, you know, like the more that I'm quoting somebody and I really need to figure out who the fuck said this because they were very smart. But somebody said, so Steven Spielberg is not ostensibly, is objectively one of the best filmmakers of history, right? When he was a child, he was in movie theaters watching movies. The Spielberg of the future, the Spielberg who is a child right now, is playing video games. He's not watching movies. They're not watching movies.
They're playing
video games. So when they get older and want to tell their own stories and create experiences to explain themselves so they can feel seen, they're going to use an interactive medium.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. So, that's so brilliant. Yeah.
And that's actually the thing I say to the people that I can just feel are dummies and don't respect the medium. Instead of saying all the mean things that I said earlier, which is like, you're obsolete.
Mean, but not wrong.
Not wrong.
Yeah. I sort of say that, right? It's like, understand you're trying to get this younger demographic because your God is these advertisers and these sponsors. And I understand that you got to keep the lights on, but you should really think about the demographic itself. Right.
Yeah.
So, and what they are experiencing and how they are getting their feelings out, how they're experiencing their storytelling.
love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network. So whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Sonia and I talk a lot about on this podcast about our love of indie games and how it really feels to me like indie games now are short films and creators are the most interesting stories to me are right now going on in indie games, because somebody can have a really fun, small, smart idea and execute it in a brilliant way. And it's $2 on Itch or on Steam, and I play it for 2 hours. I have a great experience, and I'm like, wow, this was like more engaging than many of the films I've seen lately.
Mm-hmm. And it's more accessible to adults who don't have the time to play an open world game. And I agree. And that is where I'm trying to lend the most support right now. Like I volunteer my time at different, like in indie studios, because they are the future. Right.
Yeah.
And when I'm in a Hollywood space, I say indie, you need to be paying attention to indie games. Because one, I would love if that's the IP that starts getting money.
Ooh, please.
Because imagine if Hollywood, like, of course they're going to go get the big ass AAA games for the most obvious fucking reasons. But like the dopest stories are being told in these tiny games. And when Hollywood comes a calling to them, they can actually use that money in such a better way. It's not just going to disappear immediately into just like the real estate of the building that houses the engineers, you know? So
1,000%.
So you're right. You're absolutely right. Like the indie space is really the most exciting space. But I also, when I'm in like a Hollywood ass room, I try to explain the landscape like this. Yes, we have $120 million franchises in the movie business. We also have the movies that win the Oscars. So the games industry, exactly the same. We got the $300 million game for all the people that go to the same kinds of movies. And we have the beautiful small indie games, just like the Oscar movies, bruh.
I constantly think about how long it took for comic book movies to kind of take off. You think about like the first Iron Man, you know, Favreau and Robert Downey Jr., like that was a long time ago. I mean, and in just
yes.
now. So it's
have
like,
you seen the documentary on like, and the explanation of like how they were bankrupt and they
no.
had this, it was, oh my God.
No.
I gotta
so,
see that.
Okay, I think it's like even on, I think you can like watch on Disney Plus or something. There's also a book that I have to read. It's like how they got it made and the risk that it actually took, that they took to prove that like this was a thing that could work. And so they earned the right to spend 10 years with these archetypes. Maybe it's because I'm a completionist. I don't know. I didn't watch like any of them. I was just like, yeah, I'll get to it later, because I could see what they were doing and I kind of knew what was coming. And I was like, I'm going to wait. Well, I waited until last year and I watched the entire timeline in chronological order.
How was it?
Because I wanted to be ready for phase two. It's fucking amazing. It's fucking amazing. I cried. So I'll cry right now thinking about how I felt when I'm such an idiot. When
you're among idiots. You're among idiots.
I get so emotional. When he finally says Avengers Assemble, I thought about the decade plus of all these people working in concert, betting on each other behind the scenes, making sure that they could earn that moment together. I thought about the babies born. I thought about just like the generation of time that was spent earning that, those two words. It's so beautiful. I can't believe they fucking did it right.
Now I'm gonna cry. You got me like crying.
I know, now we're all tearing up now.
There is nothing else like it. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
So all of that emotion that we all feel And now we get to have some comic book ass comic book movies.
So when let's go.
Some dude shows up and says, "Oh yeah, yeah, I got a spell for that shit," people go, "Well, of course he does," and it doesn't feel strange because they know him and they love him, and, you know, and they don't love his cape.
Right.
They love his journey.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And it's going to be so cool to see that these archetypes who have had these journeys have now, you know, like the beauty of Spider-Man. I don't know why I say it like this. Like Iron Man, Spider-Man. I know I'm not the only one. Tell me I'm not the only one.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
But like having Iron Man be this father figure to fill his own father wound and pass that on to this child. And at some point that child's going to be old enough. You know, like they have now doubled down and said, we know how to do this right. So these people can actually change. These people, meaning these archetypes, can actually change. So 10 years later, they're not having the same journey. They're not having the same priorities or super objectives. And it's just like, holy shit. How did they do this?
Some big risks and big payoffs.
It's wild.
What do you think? I mean, and maybe it's Borderlands, but like, I think we're right on the precipice of seeing the video game adaptation revolution. I mean, it feels like we're right there.
I don't care. I don't know. I'm just like, I'm not worried about it.
I mean, I'm not worried. Like, it's more like of a thing of like, I'm curious. It's like, it's really fun.
Yeah, like sure, maybe, but I just think it's just like, I obviously want the movie to do well. We all killed ourselves trying to make it. But like, I just have a really zoomed out perspective. And I'm just like, these things will always exist and it'll go the other way. Like there will be some movie that was cool and then there will be a game about it. Like that's already happened as well. Right.
Yeah,
so like, it's all just storytelling and it's all just like, it's just another medium in which to tell the story and experience these characters' journeys, right? So I just, maybe we're on the precipice, but I'm more so like, I just told that whole insane story about this Marvel universe and like learning how to show human needs through archetypes to say that the children that watched that happen and grew up with it are going to want to do the same thing in games when they're old enough to tell their own stories. And the other misconception about the games industry is that you have to be a code monkey to be able to enter the space. It's like, no,
right.
Not at all. It is filled with artists. The games industry is filled with forward-thinking thought leaders.
Yes.
People are just going to realize that. It's going to happen. It's not going to feel like some niche. And the more that, as time goes on, parents are going to see that their children can have really respectable, sustainable careers and be respected grownups in the games industry. And that just means that there's going to be better games.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. And even to your point with indie games too, and how everything now, it feels way more accessible, especially in the development too. Totally. The tools for development, the tools for just creating art in games and you know, creating voices and putting an indie game together, you know, while you don't have the budget of a AAA studio, it is accessible and it is possible to tell these amazing stories and, you know, for the kids who are growing up with archetypes like that and want to be able to tell their own stories through those archetypes and their own interpretations. They have so many tools at their disposal to be able to make games and to put them out and for them to be successful.
Yeah, it's true.
And you can also be a complete dumbass and make a game. You know, like I made a game with my friend Will called Retired Men's Nude Beach Volleyball League about a bunch of naked old guys playing volleyball. I didn't know shit about making games.
Right.
I learned there's an epic story there. Down there. People don't realize how low the barrier to entry is.
Yes.
And you don't need to learn how to play the piano. It could be just like plunking in a couple keys and you could still make a really fun, if you have a fun idea, just do it.
Most people in the music business don't know how to read music.
Right. Paul McCartney doesn't know how to read music.
Or play a goddamn intro. Yeah, exactly. It's like, just, if you want to be dope, go be dope. If you want to tell your story, if you want to bring people into your own experience, just go and do it and don't think that it's just not as hard as you think it is.
Right.
And the other thing that's really interesting about, you know, games, just in terms of what it does, is like, it's such an intimate experience, because giving somebody agency is incredibly intimate.
So powerful.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Right? Choice and influence.
Oh gosh. You can take people to places and experiences and feelings and ways with games that you can't on screen.
I think about like the end of the game Inside. Have you played that with a little kid?
Of course.
Right. Ugh. So the end of that, which is like the act three is bonkers, right? It's crazy. But then at the very end, you know, you kind of come to rest on this kind of beach, and it's like, it's this weird feeling. I can't even say it now.
I have all the chills just right. thinking about how it felt.
And it's like, I can't believe it's so amazing that games have evolved to a way where it's like, now it's giving me this feeling that I can't even describe, but I love and connect with.
And you know it.
And you know it.
And you know this, yes. right?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm playing Norco right now, and it's a vibe, y'all.
Like, wow, I don't even know what is it?
I don't know
what
that is. I haven't heard of it.
What is it?
N-O-R-C-O. It's an indie game. Just go get it.
I love it.
Go play it.
Easy. Wait, yep.
Give us the elevator pitch. What's the game? What is it?
Or We should go in blind. Yeah, you should go in blind. I can tell you that I'm not going to tell you about the environment or anything, but I can tell you like it takes place in Louisiana.
Cool.
Okay.
That's all I want to say.
I love it.
I'm not going to tell you time period or I'm just going to just go and play it. I'm about to start stalking the creators.
And oh, that's what this whole podcast is about. I was obsessed with Inscription. And so we had Daniel Mullins on. I was obsessed with The Witness. We had Jonathan Blow. I love like pulling
in
people. Oh man, that's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's an interesting.
He's so cool.
He's so smart. You're just so smart.
Brilliant.
And he's one of those people where like how he spends his time doing things that I even find strange, like the dance thing that he does. I forgot what it's called. Like, did you guys talk about that?
No. What is
that? Okay, go ask him.
Amazing.
Like how this dude spends his hours doing very diverse experiences in his life. He's just dope. But that makes sense, right? It's like you have to cause your brain to fire in different ways. And like that dude is absolutely making his own brain fire in different ways because he's
just
seeking out interesting things. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's soaking in so many other things that can influence, just influence other circles in your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you as well, Janina, it's like, I think so many people who are into games have such a huge skill set and are just generally very curious. I think it really attracts a certain kind of person that's just very curious and wants to learn different things. And that's what's so exciting right now.
Yeah.
So we're almost out of time. I hate to say it. This has been an absolute thrill. But we love to end every interview with asking our guest their best game and their worst game, their favorite game and their least favorite game. So not best and worst. It's like, so let's start low and we'll go high. What's a game that either brings out the geek rage or disappointed you, broke your heart the most? What's a game that you just like, you despise?
Well, you know, this is like a cop-out. So maybe like I've now seen behind the curtain and work behind the curtain too much to ever disparage any game.
Right.
It's just too hard. To make a game to say, this sucks.
Agree, because everybody's trying to do something great.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying really hard to do something great.
And it's just too hard.
but maybe something that stung you personally.
Well, I'll tell you like a bad experience I had.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and this is also just like telling you a bad thing about myself. So again, wasn't allowed to play video games growing up, right?
I killed somebody.
Just once.
It's a safe place here.
It was like kind of on purpose, but like mostly by mistake.
Okay.
This meeting is being recorded.
Okay. Remember 007?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How the fuck is anyone not going to cheat?
Right.
We didn't have the technology at the time, you know what I mean? So like, that's what we had. Like, that's how we entered the multiplayer experience. But like, do you think I didn't peek?
Exactly.
Like, why would I not use every tool to my advantage?
Thank you.
I'm not going to not. And then I didn't, you know, like I know everybody, people would have like the cardboard and like do the thing or whatever and like not cheat or whatever. But like, I didn't have enough friends to, you know, I just didn't have that experience. So I think I just like played it once and I was like, I'm cheating. How do I not cheat? How is someone?
It's right there.
It's right
I know where
there.
You are. I'm going to kill you right now. Like, yeah. You know, like how it's just so there. So
yeah,
that was. But that's also because I'm a bad person, apparently. But.
That's not true at all. See, my view on this. Here's my perspective. You got to be good enough. Everyone cheats. Let's just all cheat as much as possible, and then it evens the playing field.
Even the playing field. You know where I am. You still ain't gonna get me.
It's like,
you know what? Yeah. You still need to know the map.
Yep.
It's true.
You still need to know it well enough
just
to know.
Just get good. So. It's like doping in sports. Just pump everybody full of drugs and then even the playing field.
Yeah,
let's just even the playing field that way and go for it. All right. I feel you on that one. Honor system ain't going to work for me in 007.
No, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. So I'm only going to enter situations where like there is no cheating available.
Did you have a favorite? I was a Pistols Caves person. Did you have a favorite?
No, I never even played it enough to even know. I don't even know what that is. Right. It's like before my time. I don't know what that is, right? I just remember the feeling of being like, this is dumb. Why are we... Everybody's lying.
I can
lying.
Literally see your screen.
I can see you. You're lying if you're not... If you're saying you're not looking at exactly where I am. This is dumb, right? But that's where we were with technology. It's just I didn't know because I wasn't a gamer yet. Like, I just didn't know any better. Mm. Oh, so sad.
And I do love how people still broke out the cardboard. Like, that would make a big difference.
That's hilarious.
I mean, I think that if that was a choice or like that was an opportunity, I'd probably be like, yeah, that probably will help. But I wasn't in an environment where that was an opportunity. So, you know, I don't even know whose basement I was in. But anyway, okay. So,
well, let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
And on a high note.
What is your
portal?
Portal.
Oh, easy.
Portal. End of story. Portal.
Yes.
End of story.
Yeah. Now the whole orange box as well, or is like portal above
absolutely
all?
Absolutely not.
And what do you
Portal
remember?
Portal 1 and 2.
What do you love? Yes. Oh, Portal 2 is one
well,
of the
Half-Life 2
things.
Was on that orange box too, though.
Yes, it was.
Half-Life 2 was on the orange box.
Yes, it was.
But there were four games, I think. It was like
Team
Portal,
Fortress,
Half-Life 2,
Team Fortress 2.
Which I didn't, and it wasn't.
But, Sonya,
but I actually
that was
don't
my
really
jam.
Play.
That was her jam,
but I don't really, that was a multiplayer game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was like right when people were like starting to really get into multiplayer. God, that was a hell of a year.
But I didn't,
I still don't really play multiplayer. I'm like, this is my experience. Yeah. Goodbye, everyone. Right.
I'm a single Fair. Narrative. I love the stories, but Portal I think is, and also I think Portal is a great example of a game that could kind of only be a game. I don't think if you translate it to another form of media, I don't want to read the novelization of Chell and GLaDOS and all that stuff. I love it as a game. I think it's so perfect. It's all meat and no bones. That is just such a perfect no-fat game. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm.
And
truly.
You know, not to make a box pun for it being on the orange box,
go.
But it did really. It was kind of outside of the box.
Oh,
to be
I love
real,
it. I love it.
It was a game that was so clever.
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. writing was so funny.
The writing
and
is incredible.
It was so good. And there's so, like, the Easter eggs with the, was it the Rat Man and ever, like, it was a game, like we're saying, that year, was it 2007?
2007.
Wow.
That year was lit.
That was the year, y'all.
That was the year.
That was the year, 2K7. Yeah. RIP, 2K7.
Yeah.
That was amazing. And so, you started off at the top. You started out at the top, and,
but I didn't even answer your earlier question. So I started tweeting that I was loving video games, and there were not that many tweets. So somebody noticed, and then somebody at Ubisoft like invited me to go to Montreal. They were like, "We'll invite Janina to Montreal, and she can walk around, but she has to sign this NDA and she has to let us put cameras on her." And I was like, "Please." So that your first question was like, when's the first time you got to, I never even answered the question. So that's the answer.
Here we go.
That's the first time I got to see behind the curtain. And then the first game I got to perform in was Far Cry 4. Such a great experience. And so I was Amita in that. And it's sort of like all blips and the big blips are like, and then it was Battlefront. After that, it was like, Horizon, like now I've just like worked on a bunch of stuff. Like I'm right now working on 5 different games in performance.
Oh my gosh.
But the other ones that are like various different, you know, casting and voice direction and like now I've sort of do all of the things. Yeah.
We've got a lot of awesome things coming
up. I love it. We are so happy you could join us today. Thank you for your time. You're so busy. Thank you for spending this time with us. Please come back. I feel like we've only scratched the surface.
Yeah. Honestly, anytime.
Yes.
Anytime. And please tell me what you think about Norco.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yep. I'm going to play it tonight. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Of course.
Thank you so much to Janina for joining us. And again, backseat game anytime.
Yeah.
We are here for, please. I could use the support.
She could just take my controller and just play for me.
Take the wheel.
I mean, that Borderlands movie, Borderlands is going to be insane. And it was awesome. We got to talk to her. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. See you in a second.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
All right, and we're back. So I need to address something. It's kind of been going on in the background for a minute, and I feel like we haven't directly talked about it. Blay.
Yes.
Have you beat The Last of Us 2 yet?
Okay.
Oh, come on.
Well, okay. Let me just say, before I reveal my answer.
I think you've revealed it already.
The silence is damning.
I have not.
Okay.
And I'm going to be honest. I haven't even, oh man, you guys are going to be so upset.
I was halfway to taking a drink of something and I almost spat it out when you said I haven't even.
I haven't even played it since I promised you guys I would beat it. I haven't even played it. And here's what, can I just explain, before you get upset at me, you're both very angry. I'm very sorry. Here's the thing. There's a couple things. First of all, I'll give you the bullshit answer, which is, you know, I don't want to play it on stream. And since I stream every night, it's hard for me to work in a game that I don't want to stream. That's the bullshit answer. But the real answer is this. There are certain things, and there's some books I put in this category that are just too emotionally distressing to play. I'm going to be quite honest. The pandemic is still going on. I'm not in a place where I have emotional bandwidth to feel other things other than just plowing through my fucking shitty life right now. I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Sometimes it's good to get out, get a good cry, feel some emotions, let it out.
Yeah. I do that normally without the game. I really can't feel other things right now. I just can't do it. I just can't feel other things.
Maybe there's something to say about escapism into someone else's sorrow.
Yeah, it almost sort of, I played it during the pandemic and it like helped me sort of escape into a different world.
We're going to get into kind of a serious discussion if that's okay. But it's like, but when I start playing The Last of Us 2, it hits me in a way that it opens up a Pandora's box of like a lot of other stuff that's not fine. Mm. And it fucks me up. Like when I play it, it's like, I'm not good.
Are there other games like that?
That's a great question. Are there other games like that? I really don't know. I mean, because it's like, I think other games that like hit me emotionally, like the end of Inside I thought was great. Witness was great. But The Last of Us 2 and The Last of Us, like the characters are so great. I just feel so much empathy for them. And The Last of Us 2, the way they set it up with like how you have to play both sides is it's fucking me up. I'm gonna be quite honest.
That
it's really
I
fucking
do
me
get.
Up.
Yeah. Because even just having to play as Abby initially, like once that switched over, I almost stopped. I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't like her.
Right. That it's like I can't.
It's really brutal, but I also think that it is really brilliant. It is
yes,
really.
Then
no,
you
right.
grow to like. It's
you're right.
So
you're right.
But, you know, maybe you we right. can look at this in the lens of this could be therapeutic. It could be good to open it up a little bit, let some shit out, cry it, and then you know what? Have a palate cleanser on deck.
Yeah.
Have like Sayonara Wild Hearts ready to go. Yeah. Like at. As a failsafe.
That made me
point.
Feel nothing. I like that game, but I felt nothing. I
what
will
about
say,
Kirby?
Yeah, Kirby, what's happier?
But again, it doesn't. That stuff doesn't touch the deep well. You know, like Dr. K was saying, it's like an interesting thing because games, you could play at any time. You know, like he was saying about like the bars close, you know, like all these other things like vices. But if video games are your vice, which they are for me, it's tough when you get sucked into something because I'll just play it forever. And so I don't know if I can right now handle feeling that way at all hours of the day and night.
Yeah.
That's the real answer. It's not a sexy answer. It's not a funny answer, but that's the real answer. And I will say video games, what a testament to the artistry of The Last of Us and video games that I would even say that. You can't say that about Qbert and Frogger. I mean, these games now, or even movies, like even movies that have made me feel like emotionally, you know, I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once and I was like, oh my God, it really touched me. But it doesn't touch me as deeply as a game, right?
Yeah. Especially again, you know, to your point earlier of The Last of Us 2, having to play both sides and having, you know, there's, it is way more involved and it does, it touches a little deeper. So I can understand. You know what? We'll cut you a little slack.
It's going to be a summer of The Last of Us 2. Or maybe, summer of The Last of Us 2. Or maybe a week of the summer of The Last of Us 2. Because I feel like once I'm in, I'm just going to
get
zip
it in.
Through it.
There we go.
But, you know, I want to know, am I alone out there? What do you guys listening think? Do you guys have to build up emotionally to playing games? And if so, what are the games that affect you the most emotionally? Hit us up on Twitter at Good Game Nice Try. Anyway, that's going to do it for this week. And ladies, I'm sorry. I owe you both in and out for not playing Last of Us 2.
We'll all go together. It'll be great.
Okay. Can't wait.
Good Game Nice Try is produced by Jen Samples and Nick Liao. Our executive producers are Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Engineering by Eduardo Perez, with engineering and sound design by Chester Guazda. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Brick Kahn. A special thanks to Lisa Berm, and music, you know it, John Danick.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.